You know, we're just getting started in 2026 and looking toward the next year. And we've already, of course, we were talking about it, been talking about Winter Bible coming up in February. You know, some people, though, may be wondering, well, what's this year going to be like? Well, let me tell you what. All of the answers that you have, our questions you have, the answers are right here in this book, God's Word. You know, we need to realize that God wants to do more for you this year than you had last year. John 10:10, we all know it. We say it all the time. God, the thief comes not to come except to steal, kill, and destroy, and I've come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I sort of like the Passion Translation here. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I've come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. I like that one. Don't you like that? You know, I believe God has more blessing, more glory, more manifestations, more of everything. Not just in the spiritual area, but in our natural lives. Because God is talking about us. He's giving us life and more abundantly. But, you know, it's that scripture has a twofold meaning as far as I'm concerned. That means that he wants us to have a natural life and a spiritual life, and he wants both of them overflowing. Turn to your neighbor and say, I like overflowing life. You know, this year, you're going to have opportunities to receive more from God than you ever have before. But we have to put ourselves in a position to receive those. And before you can receive a promise, you have to know that it's there. Hello. And so we need to look into the Word, see the promise, and then grab a hold of it. And that's the title of my message today. Grab hold of it. You know, how do you grab hold of the Word? Well, by staying focused on the Word, by believing what the Word says, and then receiving what the Word says. You know, now it's not just going to happen because you want it to happen. It's not just going to, as my dad used to say, fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree. Any of you ever heard my dad say that in his preaching? You know, the enemy is going to do everything he can to keep you from receiving what the Word says is yours. You know, he'll bring discouragement. He'll try to get you to say, now look at this now. Yeah, that's good for some people, but you're not in that category. Well, if you're born again, Christian, and even more if you're spirit-filled, you qualify. You ever get, you know, they send out these letters and say, you're qualified for such and such if you did, you know, they're trying to give you a credit card or some kind of card or something, you know. Well, let me tell you what. When you become born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you got stamped qualified. So don't let anybody tell you that it doesn't belong to you. The enemy might try to tell you, well, you know, now, some of these people, they've been good all their life, but look what you've done. Now, what makes you think you just better be glad that God saved you? I'm serious. That's the way he operates. I want to encourage you today to grab a hold of the promises of God. And, you know, they say that a bulldog, I had one when I was a kid, and I know it for a fact. His name was Mickey. And you could give him a bone and he had it in his mouth, and it was a bigger bone. And if you could grab it like this on each side, you could pick him plumb off the ground, but he would not turn loose of that bone. Anybody ever seen that happen? I don't know whether other dogs do it or not, but bulldogs are famous. Once they latch onto something, they don't turn loose. That's the way we got to do it. We've got to grab a hold to the word and not turn it loose. I don't care what happens. You know, too many people sometimes just sort of get passive about the things of God. We need to make sure that we make up our mind to refuse to listen to anybody that wants to tell us that the promises of God are not true. There's a lot of people, now let me tell you something, you know, there's a lot of people that believe, that tell you salvation is true, but now they don't know about healing. They say, well, you got to find out if it's God's will to heal you. Well, let me tell you what, if it wasn't God's will to heal you, why in the world did he take the stripes on his back for our healing? 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes, you might be healed. You were healed. If I remember my English right, and I wasn't very good in English. English and math wasn't my subjects. History and science I liked, but I didn't like that other stuff. But if I remember correctly, were is past tense. Am I right? Yeah. Well, and if something's past tense, it's already happened. So then our healing has already happened. Grab a hold of it. Paul writes that all our needs are met according to his riches in glory. Grab a hold of it. You see, refuse to get into fear just because something's not happening as quick as you think it should. That's a big trick of the enemy. He likes to get people saying, now, it's not happening, so it must not be God's will for you to have this. He said, everything in here is God's will for us to have that abundant life. Then grab it. You know, be ready when the opportunities come, both spiritually and naturally. You know, many times in my life, I've lived a few years, and I've had opportunities come my way, but I had to get myself in a position to grab hold of them. Many times I was told, you don't know how to do that. And my response was, I may not know now, but when the time comes, I'm ready to grab it. You see, you have to get in the Word and stay in the Word and read it every day, so that you keep yourself ready to grab hold of the promises. You know, now let's look at a man by the name of Caleb in the Bible. Anybody ever heard of Caleb? Well, I hear some few amens, and I saw four hands go up. How many of you have been a Christian for more than 5 years? Man, that's most everybody. If you've been a Christian for at least 5 years and haven't heard about Caleb, then you must be hiding under a rock or something, because he's mentioned quite often by many people. Okay? He was one of the 12 that went in to spy out the promised land. And 10 of the 12 brought back an evil report. It's called in the Word, they're in Numbers. But Caleb and Joshua insisted when the others said, we can't, they insisted, we can. And I had a coach who used to tell us in the locker room, he said, you got to believe you can before you can. In other words, you got to believe you can win the game before you can win it. You got to believe you can do what the Word of God says you can do before you ever get it. Hello. We need to learn to say, I believe the Word of God, and I am eligible to receive everything that the Word of God says I can have. Now, Caleb was promised his portion in the promised land by Moses. And let's read Joshua 14:7. I'm reading NLT today. Sometimes I like to read from the NLT because it's a little more understandable in our language. He says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan in which you were just walking will be your grant of land that your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord, my God. Now, here Caleb is saying it's been 45 years since he went. Now he's 85 years old. And if you read some of the scriptures in front of this, all the land had already been divided out, been given out to all of the tribes and all of the people. Now, Caleb had this word that Moses said to him that he would have this land. And you know what? He held on to that for all of those 40 years. And it would have been easy for Caleb. Everybody had already got their allotment, but he hadn't got his yet. And it would have been easy for him to sort of say, well, look at all these newcomers. These are just the kids of those that refused to come in the promised land. And I said we could come in. You know, Caleb, even if you read there and read this account in Joshua, Caleb even helped to secure the promised land for these people that they had, their land, their possessions. And he could have got into despair and said, well, this isn't fair. God promised me this, and they've all got theirs. I even helped them win battles to drive out the enemy, and I haven't got mine yet. Let me tell you what. He didn't get his eyes off of the focus of what God said. See, we do that sometimes. We get to looking at what other people have gotten, and we get our focus off of what belongs to us. You know, the last part of Hebrews 6:12 says, follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith in endurance. Now, everybody likes that faith part, but people don't like endurance. That means you're putting up a lot of stuff to get to what you want. I want to encourage you, through faith, grab a hold of the promises of God. You know, it doesn't always mean it's going to happen quick. There's a difference between grabbing hold of the promises of God and then actually seeing them come to manifest. And then there's, I preached a sermon a few times on the in-between time. And I think Pastor Denise preached a sermon here a while back about, I forget what she called it, the in-between times. What? Oh, she called it the pause. The God of the pause, you know, from the time you start believing to the time you receive it. I called it what happens in between times. You know, a lot of people don't realize that sometimes when you are believing God for something, God may have to get some other things, work on some other situations so that you can receive that. But it's your believing and saying that I receive it coming to pass. You go back into Daniel and read Daniel was praying, and when the angel finally got there with the message, He told Daniel, he said, I was dispatched the day you prayed. But it was later, I forget how much time, that before he ever got there. He said he had to fight with the prince of Persia. Well, let me tell you what. When we read there in the Word of God, it says principalities and powers in the high places. Our answer may have to be fighting its way through, but you know what? You're continuing believing, you're continuing saying out your mouth helps it. That in fact, that's what was indicated there, that because he kept praying and he got it. Let me go on. That's a side thought, okay? You know, sometimes you need to take yourself by the shirt collar and go off into a place where there's not too much going on and not so you can get along with God and begin to say, look, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I'm not going to let anything keep me from receiving what God says is mine. You might have to just yell it. Sometimes you need to open your mouth. And, you know, I see something. Oh, Lord, thank you for it. Now, devil, I rebuke you in the name of good Lord. That don't sound to me like any of he believes. What I mean, you might just say, I believe what God said. Now, Mr. Devil, get out of here. Yeah. See, come on. Sometimes you have, you know, yeah, you got, I got Great Pyrenees Mountain Dog in the backyard, and we got Lynette likes standard poodles, and we got one that's 13 years old and one we just got that's 2 years old. Now, we got her when she was 8 weeks old. But I want to tell you what, you can talk real soft and nice to them. You know, they don't make no difference. But when you say, Maverick, get over there and sit down. Maverick, he usually minds me, usually. That's my dog out in the backyard. Now, if we end with those two poodles, if you just say, sit, like I did it just yesterday, I given him a little treat and I said, sit. Fergie, the 13-year-old, sat immediately, but not Stella. She is still standing there, you know, and I said, Stella, I said, sit. And she sit. But with Fergie, all I had to do was say, sit, like that. It's a small, but with Stella, she had to know I really meant it before she give in. Hello. That's what we got to do with the devil. Sometimes he has to know that we really know what we're talking about before he ever gets out of the way. When you've grabbed a hold of it, you're not going to be passive. You're going to be aggressive. You can't be passive with the devil. He's going to come after you with everything he's got, and you've got to be aggressive. Some of y'all may remember several years ago that I'm preaching up here on the stage, and somebody made the platform, made it up on the platform. Anybody remember that? Yeah, there's some of you. And I immediately went toward him and I said, get off this stage. You don't belong up here. And everybody said, man, you went to him. I said, yeah, when you're being attacked, you got to be aggressive. I don't know whether he's going to attack me or not, but I knew when you come on a platform, when somebody's preaching, that ain't a good deal. But I learned a long time ago, the one that's on the offense has the advantage over just being on the defense. And so, but that's what we got to do with the devil. Every time he comes on our territory, we've got to tell him, get out of here. You don't belong in here. You have no authority, no rights. In the name of Jesus. Hello, like Denise was talking about earlier. In the name of Jesus. We need to get where we use the name of Jesus. He told his disciples before he left and went away, he said, you haven't asked anything in my name up until now, but after today, after his resurrection, after he died and was buried and resurrected and went to heaven, he said, ask the Father in my name. Amen. It says it right there. That's why I always, at the end of any prayer I pray, I usually put in his name or in the name of Jesus. Because that's what happens. What is that? When you say that like that, it's God looks at it as the same as his son asking him. Hello. You know, now let's go on with Caleb. I sort of got off course there, but that's good stuff. I ain't going to take it back anyway. Joshua 14:10. Now, as you can see, he's talking to Joshua. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, and as he promised me for these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even when Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I'm 85 old. I'm as strong as I was then. Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. Caleb kept believing God for 45 years. I can almost hear him say, God said it, I believe it, that's it. Today, that's what we need to say. The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. That's the spirit of faith that Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Paul said he was able to receive from God because he spoke. David, actually he's quoting from David here when he wrote this. David said that I followed God and received his promises. How? By speaking it out of his mouth. My father, Kenneth E. Hagin, followed God and received his healing and received everything that he received because of what the word promised him. And he said it with his mouth. He believed it in his heart and he received it. You can do the same thing. We have to do the same thing. We have to believe it in our heart and say it with our mouth. You know, Caleb was strong and he was ready for action. He said, I'm as strong, and with God's help, I'll take the land. Now look down here in verse 11, 14, 11. Joshua, I'm as strong as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. I can still travel and fight as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak there, that's the giants, living in the great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I'll drive them out of the land just as the Lord said. You know, when he was promised this by Moses, speaking from God, when it was promised, he grabbed a hold of it and he held on to it. He didn't let it go. Years passed, but he was still saying, that's my territory. That's my land. I'm going to get it. You know, when you grab a hold of the promises of God, when you read what it says here and begin to believe it in your heart and speak it out of your mouth, then something's going to happen. Now, it may not be immediately, but it will come to pass. You know, I've seen people start out well believing and saying, but as time goes on, because it doesn't happen like they think it should happen, they lose their intensity. And the enemy comes in and steals from them. You can't afford to lose your focus and your intensity if you're going to win. I played sports, and many of you guys played sports, but I'm going to tell you what. You can be ahead in a game, and because you're ahead on the scoreboard, you sort of lose a little intensity. And before you know it, the other teams come back on you. And do you know what? It is very seldom when you lose the intensity and they grab it that you ever can come back. You know, a lot of guys I was running, you know, I ran track and ran in the state meet in 1956. And there's a lot of guys, and back then the 220 yard Dash was run on the curb. It's still run on the curb, but it's called 200 meters now. And if you ever notice, the guys starting back here, they're back here. A lot of guys didn't like, they wanted to start up here in lane 5, 6, 8. If it's an 8-lane track, a lot of them wanted to start, they wanted to start in that last lane out there. You know what? I told a coach all the time, I said, I want to draw number one. You know why? Even though when you come out of the corner, you're going to be a level, but it looks like you're behind. And I think it makes me run harder because I got to catch up. And it did, because if I don't catch up to them by the time I got to that corner, I'm in trouble. I got around that corner, I'm in trouble. How many of you run track and know what I'm talking about? Hey, you know, I would be coming out. I come off that corner. I'm coming down the straightaway, and I see an old boy up here. He's about 3 yards in front of me, and we're running hard. And all of a sudden, back then we wore those singlets, like, and you could see, and I could see his muscles in his back start to tighten up because he started squeezing his hands because he's running out of gas. I did my mind. I said, "Oh, I got you now, bud," and I just kick it up another gear. Because I can tell he's tying up. I'm just getting loose. Let me tell you what. Just because you see the devil out there giving you a trouble, hey, he's tied up. Just keep going. You're loose. Go grab a hold of it. Grab a hold of it. You know, the verse we all know, I've been talking about it, Mark 11:24-23. We know what it is. I tell you, you can pray for anything. If you believe, you receive, it'll be yours. Say to the mountain, be cast in the sea. Shall not doubt in his heart, believe in his mouth, that you believe, have what he says. I believe that. Now, the word received here means in the Greek, according to Strong's Concordance, to take, or I like this, to get a hold of it. And that's what I'm talking about. Grab a hold of it. You know, in the healing lines, and some of you have ever been in my Living Faith conferences, I will tell the people, now you get ready. When I come down there and I lay hands on you and I say, receive your healing or be healed, I want you to say, I take it. Grab a hold of it. That's their act of believing and receiving by saying it. This is not a time to draw back. Hebrews 10:35-36. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings. Patience and endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do the will of God, then you will receive all that he has promised. Look at this, 36. Patience and endurance is what you need now. Patience and endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will, then you'll receive what he's promised. Those are two words that a lot of, when people start believing God, they don't like, because they want it now. We live in a now generation. In fact, if we go to one restaurant and they got a line, waiting line, we go to another one because we don't want to wait in line. You go through the drive-thru, and if you go through, hey, you know, say Chick-fil-A, because down here on 71st Street, when I drive that way going home, I see that Chick-fil-A there, and there'd be a line strung out there through the drive-thru, and, you know, say, well, hey, wait, there's another Chick-fil-A over here. Let's go over there. Let's see. We may not have to wait over there. Come on now. How many of you got a microwave? What does that microwave do? It makes it quicker. Hello. We want everything quick. Thank God we do get some instant things with God, but sometimes it comes differently. If you ever read about healing, that's why I tell people when I pray for them, if they don't have the complete manifestation, keep saying, the healing power of God's working in my body to affect the healing and the cure. Keep saying it. Because the Bible says some were healed instantly, some were healed as they went. Hello? We need to get a hold of the fact, grab a hold of it, and hang on to it. Now, the reason a lot of people don't hang on to the Word of God is like the lady came out. I remember this. This lady came in the prayer line with Dad, and you know, she wanted him to minister, and she told him the situation. And he said, "Will you do what I tell you to?" And she said, "If it's easy." That's the way a lot of people are with the things of God. They do it as long as it's easy and doesn't cost them anything. Come on now. People will stand in line for free things that they won't stand in line for to pay for. Hello. You know, the Apostle Paul called it the fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to eternal life to which God has called you to, which you've declared so well before many witnesses. Fight the fight of faith. You know, how do you fight the fight of faith? With your mouth, not with your fist. With your mouth. You say what the Word says, you believe what the Word says, and receive what the Word says. You know, some people quit just before they get the answer. Well, it's taking too long. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I grew up down there in north central Texas, the black land of north central Texas. Anybody grow up in the black land of north central Texas? Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Well, it's got black gumbo. It's black dirt. It's called gumbo. And when it gets wet, it's bad. In fact, the saying is, if you'll stick with it when it's dry, it'll stick to you when it's wet. But back before they had all the farm-to-market roads that they got down there now, out in the country area, they had dirt roads. In fact, my grandpa, back when I was 5 years old, they lived on a dirt road. But now, well, then they put white rock on it and made it, you know. But I'll tell you what, you're not going to drive down that road if it's rained about 6 inches. You get on there, that car going to sneak down. Sometimes you're pushing it, trying to get it out of the ruts and get it going. And you just about get it up to the top. And then you let it go, and it slides right back down. Anybody ever done that, trying to push a car out of mud or something? Well, that's what happens to us sometimes. We're pushing with our mouth, saying, "Thank you, Lord. I thank you that it's done. I believe it in Jesus." We're pushing, and we just about got it up, and then we say, "Well, and I guess I'm not going to get it this time." You're right back where you started. Grab hold of it and don't ever turn loose. Just keep going. Okay? You know, I say it all the time. I cannot be defeated and will not quit. I stand here today because I grabbed hold of God's word and I just say that. Now, somebody said, I said I cannot be defeated. Well, I wasn't defeated. I might have had a problem. But I didn't quit. I kept going, so there was no defeat. Actually, people say, well, I failed. No, the only time you're a failure and you fail is when you quit trying. Come on now. You know, what God said to me, I believed it. It didn't come to pass overnight, but I'm here today through faith and endurance, and you can receive this year greater than you've ever received in your life if you will have the faith and the endurance and fight the good fight of faith. And this year, the enemy is going to challenge you every time you turn around. And there's three areas that he will really try to challenge you in. And that's having peace. And that's believing that the promises of God are really going to happen for you. And then he's going to challenge you by saying, do you really think that you can get the promises of God? Who do you think you are anyway? That's the enemy. Anybody ever had him come at you like that? Yes. He's going to challenge you. But if you grab hold of the word of God, he says, my peace I give to you. Hello? I give to you. You know, I could reach in my pocket, get out some money and say, all right, if you come up here, I'll give it to you. Once I give it to you, it's yours. You can do what you want. He said, my peace I give to you. So you do not have to be in turmoil. You can be in peace. And the promises, Paul said, every promise is yes. There's no. Every promise is yes. When you sing a song, every promise in the book is mine. Hey, say it. Every promise in the book is mine. I grab it. Hallelujah. I think I preached long enough. Everybody stand up. I think you got what I think you got a hold of what I'm trying to tell you. Grab a hold of the promises of God. Say this with me. I believe the word. I grab a hold of the promises. They will come to pass in my life this year. I can have what the Bible says I can have. I can do what the Bible says I can do. Because I'm in Christ and all the blessings come through Christ, my Savior and my Lord. Thank you, Father. Every promise is mine. I take them now. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Well, you got, Anthony. You jumped up here.
Grab a hold to the word of God. His word is true. He's able to perform it. God will do what he says. Trusting in what he said. Church, and when it's all said and done, in the end, you're gonna stand. Grab a hold to the word of God. His word is true. He's able to perform it and do what he said he'd do. Nothing is too hard for God. I'm trusting in what he said. In what he said.
death, when we're out on a Living Faith conference, I'll be preaching and he'll jump up afterwards and he'll get one of these courses from that. But that's what a psalmist does. He's a psalmist. That's what a psalmist is. Hallelujah. You know, Word of God talking about singing songs, spiritual songs. That's a spiritual song. Come to him there. Hallelujah. Oh, you music people, if you just open up a little bit and begin to yield, you can do that too. Now, I'm not musical, so it's not going to do that, but I can preach it. Anybody get anything out of this morning? Hallelujah. Bow your heads for just a moment. If you happen to be in this place today and you do not know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to know him so you can get a hold of what I was talking about today. Or maybe you know what it is. You started out serving, but you sort of got off track and detoured, and you just need to come and rededicate your life to God. Anybody in either one of those invitations in this crowd, I want to pray with you and for you. But I can't pray for you if I don't know who you are. Would you just simply raise your hand and say, I'm one of those. I need Jesus, or I need to rededicate my life. Anywhere, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in this room. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody want to be filled with the Spirit this morning? According to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody anywhere in the room? We want to pray with you, and you'll leave here full of the Spirit this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Well, everybody raise your hands and thank God that you are a born-again spirit Christian. Hallelujah. And that everything in the Word is yours. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Well, staff, go to the doors to shake hands with everybody this morning. I have all the staff go to the different doors. I think I'm going to the south door this morning. They usually put it on the screen. But, there it is right there. It's not on my monitor. I don't know. Yeah, I'm going south. That's where everybody's going to be. Okay? So if you want to shake our hand tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Next Sunday, right here. And if you want to get to know people in the church, go to the School of the Bible at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, and you'll meet a lot of good people, and you'll have a lot of good friends. God bless you. We'll see you tonight. They're going to sing, and then they're going to dismiss you.